A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" And then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." And then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you've prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. Surprise. Have you ever had a surprise party? A few years ago it happened to me. I thought I was going over to a friend's house for dinner. When I rang the doorbell and he opened the door, welcomed me into his home, there were all these decorations. "Happy birthday," they said. And then a group of friends came out from the kitchen shouting, "Surprise!" and "Happy birthday!" Well, at first I was startled because I didn't expect that, but then I was flooded by joy as I looked around the room at some of my dear friends. Now, there are other surprises that we would prefer to do without. Bad news. Bad news always seems like a surprise. We also are startled for the initial moment, but then instead of things getting better, as at a surprise party, things get worse when you get the details. The phone wakes you up in the middle of the night and it startles you awake and you feel that knot in your stomach expecting bad news. And if it's a wrong number, you're annoyed, but what a relief. But it's not always a wrong number. In one moment, our world of comfort and our pattern of living can suffer a serious blow. All can collapse on a phone call or at a doctor's office. When the reading of the x-ray happens, or the blood test results are given, or the mammogram, or when we're told that there's a shadow on the MRI by a solemn doctor. Parables run all through the New Testament. They're Jesus' favorite way to teach. He's not applying rules and regulations, not giving us commandments. He's really appealing to our imaginations, as if to say to us, "Here, ponder this one. Reflect on your life in the light of this story. Draw your own conclusions." And so we have today's parable. The setting is there. Someone wants Jesus to deal with a financial matter. Whom did they think he was? A lawyer? A judge? An accountant? Is that all they thought of him? Another one of the teachers of the law? A wise person handing out a piece of wisdom? He pushes the issue aside as if to say, there are courts for that. But here is a chance for him to teach, and he takes advantage of it, and he does it through a parable. The occasion suggests a response to a deeper issue. The parable gives an opportunity to think about our values, our plans, our pet projects, how we look at life. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest, Act 2. He tells the parable, and it starts pretty well, gets us right into it. Who would want to be in the rich man's shoes? So much security. He's rich already. Well-being. Picture his ample table, big estate, food, important guests, plenty to drink. And then a report comes in. Best news. Too much harvest, not enough space to store it. Who would want to have his problem, such a problem. It's like winning the lottery. The only problem might be how you're going to spend the money. Act two, and here comes the clinker. Just when we're lulled into comfortable thoughts and maybe thinking about how we would spend money or what plans we would make for the future, in comes the surprise. God makes a very rare appearance, and it's in this parable. God's not usually a character in the parables. And God passes a verdict on the man's whole life. You fool. This very night your life shall be demanded, and the things you prepared, to whom will they belong? Now, it doesn't say God's going to take his life. He's a rich man. Who knows what greedy members of his family he might have? Who knows how his money and wealth have divided his family? And because the story is told at a time when over 90-95% of the people were desperately poor peasants, who knows how he treated his employees and whether the riches he had attracted envy and worse. You remember in A Christmas Carol, and the third spirit is showing Ebenezer Scrooge how his life will end. And there we are in the room where he dies, and his housekeeper and the undertaker are stripping his room. He won't be needing these, the housekeeper says. Who knows how the man dies? What we do know is that in the midst of contentment and self-congratulation comes complete collapse. Everything falls apart. What might have occasioned this downfall? Well, one of his problems is that there's no one else in his world. He's a person talking to himself, about himself. When he goes into the consultation room, he's the only one in there. It's a small world he's living in. It's as if no one else exists. Are there none who should have been included in his discussion and planning? None who should have been taken into consideration? Where's his wife? Does he have children? Shouldn't they be considered? He consults only with himself. No human community, no God taken into consideration. God calls him a fool. So his chief advisor is a fool. We are, and Jesus is addressing, a community of people. Others need to be involved in our decisions, thought about. How will our decisions affect others? Choices we make about life. Remember what the poet said, no one's an island. Others need our concern. He should have thought about his employees. Maybe they could have shared in his well-being. We should think about the poor. The man knows no limits. How much is enough? How much is too much? How big of a car? How big of a house? How many cars? How many video games? How much? When we enter the consultation room to consider our lives, whom do we bring with us? There's something else in the story. He's deluded by his possessions. He thinks they guarantee his present and his future happiness. He has what he calls good things. Sometimes in our way of thinking or speaking, we would call the good things that we have our blessings. And liken them to God's blessing. God has blessed us. We have so much. We're grateful for what we have, we say. I'm so blessed, we say with contentment, as if somehow our lives have been approved by God with things. By that way of thinking, the poor who have nothing or very little, do they lack blessings? Are the rich and the haves the ones who are blessed by God? Our nation, the United States, are we closest to God among all the nations of the world because we have so much and we've been, quote, blessed? Somehow our life blessed by God with things? Remember this man's reasoning. He earns God's naming him fool. What we count as blessings may not be. Others who have less than we, who don't have perhaps what we would call the good life, may be rich indeed, rich in God's sight. and need in our sight to be considered. In the light of this parable, what might it mean to be rich in God's sight? Jesus is using this parable to open our eyes. It could mean not acting or deciding important matters on our own. It could mean discernment. What does God want from us? Before we make a decision, maybe we should stop, pray, and then listen. Maybe we should ask God, what next? What would you have me do? Perhaps we should be taking others into consultation, deliberately, consciously, being part of a community. Especially think about the people who are affected by our decision, those whose lives are intertwined with ours, our spouse, our family, our working partners, our friends, but also to consider the larger issues that we're so sensitive of these days, the environment. How much will our possessions affect the environment, deplete the resources? We might be able to afford what we want, but should we have it? Living in trust. The serious events and crises of our lives come to all of us. Relationships can crumble. Things can be taken away. There could be sickness. The parable invites us to trust God, not living afraid, not living as if God doesn't exist. The parable suggests not putting my trust in what won't last. Someone in a scripture group once said, as we reflected on this parable, I never saw a funeral hearse with a U-Haul attached to it.